sitting here with Madison and Violet. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
Who's who? Brilliant.
Brantley.
Lisa. Although a lot of people ask which one's Madison and which one is Violet.
Okay, I wouldn't ask this question, but is it true that you, at the beginning, you was called Matt Violet?
Yes.
Yeah. And how come Matt, from Matt to Madison? I mean, it's a difference in meaning.
Some of the feedback that we got on the band name was people thought we were saying Mad Violent.
Instead of Violet.
Instead of Violet. Okay. And it was happening quite often. And also people weren't sure if we were like a heavy metal band with the Mad Violent. So we decided to extend it to Madison. And the year that we did that, Lisa, her brother had a child named Madison. So...
And Brantley's grandmother's name is Violet, so there's still those connections with the name.
So it stays in family.
Yeah.
And you're working together since 17...
18 now.
18 years now.
Yeah. We had our 18th anniversary on Halloween.
Okay.
Our band-iversary.
And is it a good omen or a bad?
Oh, I think any band that can get past year one is a good omen. I think we're very lucky, and we both love working together, love traveling and seeing the world, and, you know, we couldn't have found better musical partners.
So for marriage, the seventh year is difficult?
The seven-year itch.
Well, we made it... Our marriage lasted for almost 10 years, and then the music survived, but not the romantic relationship.
Okay.
It changed after 10 years.
And it still seems to work.
Yeah, it works better.
You're sitting in front of me in harmony.
Yeah.
It took some work. There was definitely a transition. I mean, a lot of people thought when they first discovered that we were romantic partners as well as bandmates, you know, record labels and stuff were always a bit scared because they thought that's a toxic combination. And I think... we proved them wrong, and I think that it wasn't an easy transition, but we put the work in, and we knew that the music was the most important.
Yeah, there are so many romantic relationships who are doing music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
some work, some don't.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's even more interesting maybe for the public and media to have this combination and doing songwriting together and, you know, the stuff people are singing about, you know, okay, it's about the two of them.
Right.
If it's about love, of course, yeah. It's even more personal.
Yeah.
When you are a couple.
Yeah.
And you are sharing everything still, so the songwriting and everything?
Yeah.
The lyrics?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that we've... you know, even though that part of our relationship has dissolved, we have, there's not really anybody in our lives that are as close to each other as we are. We still spend, you know, months and months on the road together, more so than any, you know, partners, husband and wife, wives, husbands. So I think we are still able to write from, like, an intimate standpoint, like we're able to go in within ourselves and write personally together and still make those lyrics work.
Yeah.
But in how far do the lyrics, are they different because you are different persons? Is there a special note? So can I hear when I'm a good listener, okay, this song's from Lisa and this is... friendly.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, if we're being extremely candid in when we're communicating, as in talking with our audience, if we tell them the story behind the song, then yes. But sometimes we're not as candid about the story and let our audience figure it out themselves. And so I think in that point it can be quite elusive. You don't know exactly who's writing, or maybe it is both of us. I mean, we've both experienced our brothers being killed tragically. So, you know, we can both, even though they were killed in different ways and they both had come from sort of similar, you know, drug abusive backgrounds. So the story can, they can definitely line up, I guess. Yes. Well, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. One thing is the story and experiences. Other thing is the style of writing, maybe.
I think there's... Because we both have a hand usually in the musical part, the melodic part, the chord structure, the lyrics, a lot of our words intertwine. So it's sort of, we weave them together like a French braid. And I think as the years have gone on, we've probably picked up some of each other's habits as well with writing. So maybe we've gotten more similar in our analogies and in our metaphors that we use, but I don't know. It's maybe we have some fans that would say this is definitely a Brenly line or this is a Lisa mm-hmm. line, but mm-hmm. sometimes we write together and I can't remember which one of us has written which line because we sort of have a hive brain sometimes when we're in with our guitars sitting down writing.
For me, your sound is... of course, quite American, so it's a general thing, American music, so it was steel guitar and so on. But you're from Canada, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a difference between American or North American and Canadian sound? Is there something?
There probably is, and I think that there are Canadian bands that really write in a very Canadian way. They write about Canadian topics, Canadian cities. I don't think that Canada has been a larger influence on my writing than England or America. I think that I've been exposed to music south of the border, a lot of British music. I don't think that we're like specifically Canadian songwriters. I wish I was sometimes. I wish that I would write more from a, you know, sort of talk about North Canadian towns or Northern towns, but it's just not what comes naturally. And I think that you shouldn't, if it becomes a forced effort, then it's not going to feel very authentic.
Our next album is going to be a Schlager record.
Really? If it's not German Schlager, then it's okay. So Canadian Schlager is absolutely okay for me.
Yeah.
Just thought of Joni Mitchell. Is she Canadian?
She's Canadian, yeah.
So she's really great and famous. And for me, again, it sounds so American.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's American. North American, you know? I think there's...
North or...
Well, but North America encapsulates, you know, United States and Canada. So, you know, okay. I think it's... The border is fuzzy, except for politics. You know, there's a lot of similarities between, you know, a lot of those bordering towns. And
in Canada, there's the French part, for mm-hmm. example. So maybe there you can find a difference. I don't know. I don't know the French Canadian music scene.
Well, there is a very thriving music scene. It's interesting when if you go online and you look at what the economy in the music industry is like in Canada nowadays. Most of the country, the CD sales have dropped, Spotify numbers have gone up, but in Quebec, it's still a very thriving scene, and they still buy a lot of albums and support their artists, and it's like a country within a country, and has this whole industry on its own, and it's really quite amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we were, as Canadians, we probably should be bilingual. We're a bilingual country, supposedly. And we both can get by speaking French, but not singing. You know, mm-hmm. it would be amazing to go tour there and sing all of our albums in French, but not quite realistic quite yet.
Are you as well on tour in France?
Last summer we toured in France. Okay, so we got to practice a lot of our French speaking.
And French public loves to, if you speak French to them,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, they were quite receptive. I've been lerne Deutsch, aber ich glaube meine Français is besser than meine Deutsch. Still, because I've been exposed to more French.
And why are you learning German?
Warum nicht?
Yes, why not? But you can learn Italian or Spanish.
Yeah, but I'm learning Spanish and Italian, and I speak some French. I like
interested in every language.
I love languages. Okay. Yeah,
but also we tour Germany and Austria and Switzerland a lot, and I think it's important because we're surrounded by German-speaking people, and I think it's fun to learn a new language, but it's respectful to try and, you know, learn part of your culture and your
language. At least to say guten Abend und Dankeschön und vielen Dank.
And ich möchte ein Schnitzel, bitte.
You don't say it on stage.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Ich möchte ein Bier.
Ein Bier.
Yeah.
Another beer. Okay. Yes, you are on tour. You have concerts almost every day at the moment. So it must be quite hard.
Yeah, it's sometimes we forget about asking for a day off and it gets a little, ich bin müde, but it's okay. We have a nice break when we get home.
You play in quite small cities here around, so do you have a loyal fan base over there?
Yeah, I think so. I think the shows on this tour have been great. They've been, it's been the smaller venues, but full. So that makes us happy.
So everybody come out tonight.
Yes, I hope so. Maybe one last question. I've read about the slogan of you, Back to the Roots. Mm-hmm. Is it a slogan? And what are the roots? What are your roots?
I think for this tour, what we had done a couple of years ago, we put out an album called Year of the Horse. And it was a pretty big electronic pop album, which was very, very far away from what our fans knew of our sound. Because we're acoustic singer-songwriter type stuff. And so we made a new album called The Night Sessions, and we stripped back all of that electronic production back to our roots, which is sort of the basics and the acoustics and the harmonies. And that's what we're touring. So this is our stripped-back roots tour.
Okay. So thank you so much, Madison Wylett, and have fun on the tour, and especially tonight at the Jazz House.
Thank you.
Thank you.